Hello, welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. I love the idea brought by my guest today of how do we flourish as humans. It's an idea that transcends political party and gamesmanship, and it begs a few questions. Are the societal and political structures that we strive within, are they allowing us to flourish, or are they promoting other qualities? When we look around at our cities, do we see everyone flourishing? I don't think anyone would truthfully say that we are, would they, regardless of political affiliation? And why is that, and what do we need to do about it? There's a movement afoot from we the people, and my guest today truly exemplifies it. Sometimes with all the noise in the media and social landscape around what is happening in D.C., we can lose focus on the things that are happening right down the street. Our communities need us in whatever small way we can serve, and with as many of us as possible. If you're feeling called to make a small difference and you're here in King County, please reach out to us at www.kcgop.org. We want to hear from you. There are so many small ways that you can help move the needle, and we're doing this as a team, as we the people. Today's interview is a good one. I'd like to get right to it. Enjoy. Today's episode is brought to you by The Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, The Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is American Martin Barrett. Martin is a husband and father, a successful entrepreneur, a citizen journalist, and the co-founder, along with his wife Beth, of the Burien News, whose vision is to promote human flourishing through uplifting, truthful stories. Here is my interview with Martin Barrett. All right, I am here with Martin Barrett, American entrepreneur, father, and citizen journalist, Martin Barrett. Martin, welcome to The American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, I came across your work in the Burien News recently. We're going to talk about all that. The first time I talked to you on the phone, you were on a road trip, and I called you Barrett Martin, the whole conversation. And Barrett Martin is a very famous rock and roll drummer with the Screaming Trees right here in Seattle. So my apologies. I'm glad you weren't offended by that. But I was like, oh, my God. I told my wife, she goes, why did you call him Barrett Martin? And I was like, I think he's a rock and roll drummer, if I'm not mistaken. And I looked it up. I'm like, yeah, sure enough. So thanks for being a good sport, Martin, about that. Yeah. I really appreciate it. So, but before we get started, you know, we're going to get into all the stuff, but I just wanted to ask you just to give us some background so people know where you grew up, where you're from, what you've done for work, where you live now, and any family that you have.
Great. Well, I grew up in Salem, Oregon, and came up to go to college here in Seattle, where I met my wife. We were doing Young Life together at West Seattle High School. And so we got married and 47 years ago. And so now we have three kids, and they're all gone and doing very well. And now, you know, we've been put in a place where we're doing all kinds of things focused on our city. We live in Burien, little community called Three Tree Point. And we've been here for 30 years. We came up in 95 because our oldest son is very dyslexic. We found a school up here that we were going to put him in to help him get some airspeed. And then once we had it, we thought we'd move back down to Salem. But we got so deeply involved in Young Life regionally that we ended up by putting our roots down and staying right here in this area, and we're glad we did.
Before we get going, is your son that has dyslexia, did he find a career and stuff like that? I'm very curious because there's a lot of that going around in this last generation. You see a lot of ADHD and dyslexia and stuff. Did he find his path that is into adulthood and career and all that, or is he still working on that?
No, he has, and mostly thanks to my wife, who sacrificed amazing hours and patience and love. And now, of all things, he's the marketing manager for the Chicago Board of Options and Exchange.
Really?
Oh, he lives in Chicago, and he is kind of at the top of the marketing game.
Wow. So he has done well.
There's some beautiful gifts with dyslexia, and he plays into those gifts. And because of that, he's been extremely successful.
That's fantastic. You and I had a previous conversation, and you were on a road trip down to Portland, so we chatted just a little bit on in the car, and I jotted down some notes of things that I thought were interesting. And you had said that the left has given us the middle ground, and I completely agree. But I wanted to ask you, in what ways has the left given us the middle ground? Because I have a feeling, we certainly have a lot of conservatives that would nod their heads and libertarians, but there might be some independents and even some former Kennedy liberals that might be listening or considering. Because the left has given up the middle ground. And in what ways do you see that ha having occurred?
Well, I think that we were created with a desire for human flourishing. And we want that for ourselves. We want that for our families. And we want that for the people around us. We're also very rational beings. And in spite of all the propaganda g that gets thrown at us, there's enough people that are observant as to the actual outcomes of various policies and positions. And they're looking at this and they're saying, this does not promote human flourishing. We're not seeing flourishing in our schools, as an example. We're not seeing flourishing in our government. We don't see flourishing in the institutions that we've set up that are supposed to make life for us more livable, and it's making it less livable. So they've seeded this ground because the extreme policies, and I would say it, anywhere there's extreme on either side, human flourishing begins to shut down. And most people want human flourishing. And that desire, I think, transcends a political party. I think it transcends color or backgrounds or economics or anything else. So when we are focusing on human flourishing and how do we help families and small cities and neighborhoods and school districts flourish, we find that more people want to be with us in the middle. But this extremism that we're finding right now, the extremism is on the left, and it's actually producing human disability, for lack of a better term. You look at our school district. Well, our school district is just an abject failure, the Highline School District. A third of our kids graduate with the they can't pass the English test. Almost 80% of our kids can't pass the math test. Over 50% are 3 grades behind in their reading. So, they have this motto that kids are going to be able to come out and have a career of their choice. How do you have a career of your choice when you can't read? How do you get a career of your choice when you can't do math? So those things aren't left, or those things aren't, I'll just say, Republican or Democrat necessarily. They are. Everybody wants our kids to flourish. So when they're not flourishing, that's when these extreme policies of DEI, of this gender, the
Dysphoria.
dysphoria, all these different things, the constant desire to divide us and set one another at odds against each other, all those things are obvious to most people who are really thinking. This is not moving us forward in the flourishing of individuals or communities.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And we spend more money on public education. That seems to be the drum that they just keep beating. Like, if we could just spend some more money, it's like we spend a lot of money There's a lot of graft and corruption in education, and to your point, the data is not supporting that throwing money is working because it's all getting sucked up at the top into who knows what. But the kids are suffering. And also, what you didn't mention that I've noticed is there's a lot more mental illness amongst young people. They're
Very much.
on a lot of drugs. They don't know whether or not they're boys or girls because they're reading a lot of stuff. Maybe it's on TikTok and it's on the internet, but it's not being it's not they're not. The record is not being set straight in the schools. In fact, they're giving them a lot of leeway to question some basic biological reality. I don't think it's helping, and the test scores are supporting that it's not helping, is that they're not focused on the things that are building productive adults, right? I was really excited when Trump first took office and Doge came out, right? Doge came out with USAID corruption. They started right off the get-go showing all of the ways that there's corruption in Washington and what it looks like. And then you kind of heard murmurs that it might go to the Department of Education. It's been a little quiet. I think there's a lot of investigation into these different things and revealing about where taxpayer dollars are not being spent on what taxpayers might think they are. But and Trump has talked all about, a new golden era. I'm not asking you to weigh in on Trump because it doesn't really matter. We're talking about what's good for America. How does human flourishing continue in America right now, which I think transcends political party and ideology. I think it's a great thing to focus on this theme. But what areas other than education, because that's the one I was going to say, but we've already kind of unpacked that a little bit. We obviously, you and I are both concerned about education. We'd love to see a renewal and a revival in American education. What other areas or area of society would you love to see a big renewal where, say, you and I are having this conversation 4 years from now or 6 years from now, and we're like, wow, look how far we've come in the right direction, not only in education because all of these things happen, but also in this area. What other area would you are in your heart's heart, you're like, I would love to see this transformed where it's completely a 180, maybe where it is right now.
Well, obviously, for me, I would love to see a great awakening happen spiritually in our country. And I think that is going to be one of the most crucial things. Every man has a God. And there's really no such thing as a godless man. Everybody has a God, even if the claim is godlessness. And so, if God is not God, then government becomes God, and it solely determines what's right and what's wrong, and it immediately begins to degenerate either into mob rule or into an elitist culture in which a few are making a decision and they're the ones that are deciding what's right, what's wrong. So I say that in large part, and I try to stay close to my local community. We live in a city that 25% of the people in Burien were not born in this country. And we have white is still the plurality. I believe we're down to 43%. And so we have, like many schools in the greater Seattle area, over 100 languages spoken in our school district and even at some specific schools by themselves. My point of that is this: we've made it almost impossible for these immigrants to start businesses. We have thrown so much in their way to be able to be the entrepreneurs that they probably at their core are. I mean, any time you pick everything up and you move to to a country and you're ready to start all over, you're an entrepreneur. So you are hoping for something better for your children. And we have developed a system of regulations that are extremely oppressive. Here in Burien, we passed a tax that puts us, I believe, the highest minimum wage in the United States. Now, these immigrants are coming here trying to start their small businesses, and they are just saddled with these costs and expenses that they're not able to go forward with. I just think that's a tragedy. I think it's a tragedy that we have gotten to this place, because if you look back through the history of this great nation, immigrants coming and starting businesses,
that's the heartbeat of it.
And whether they become a Carnegie, from Scotland, or whether they bring their talent over from Asia, that is at the core of who we are as a nation. And we have made government the arbiter of everything, and people believe that they should have this control, and they shouldn't. It's crazy.
Go ahead.
Skills flourishing. I mean, again, this goes back to this issue of flourishing and not allowing, especially these immigrant groups, to be able to flourish.
I totally agree with you that the entrepreneurial spirit, that is the American dream. And, the Democrat Party during Biden, I mean, there's questions of how many millions of illegals they just let in, 8 million, right. 10 million, whatever. But it's not the American dream to it goes against the American dream to saddle entrepreneurs. Like if you're a legal immigrant and you've come here to start a business, there should be a streamlined version of welcome. You are an American, and this is how Americans do things. We have a can-do attitude. Our systems support the hustle and drive that an entrepreneur has. Instead, what Biden did, they let in, say 8 million people, some say 10, some say 12. We're going to give you debit cards. We're going to give you housing. We're going to give you all these things. And what that says, it's not the American dream. It's here, go on the teat, because we have this strong welfare state and we want to build it bigger, because that suits the Democrat Party more than, having people go through the right channels to become legal Americans and then be given, a fast track or an easy way to say, hey, if you want to start a, dry cleaning business or a trucking, whatever the dream is, whatever you want to do, then that would be not hindered, right? But instead, it's like, here, go on the dole right away. Well, that's not going to motivate anybody. All my family came here. They didn't have anything, man. Everybody that came over to Ellis Island had to hustle their butts off because the time was moving. And, it wasn't like, oh, here's a debit card, great grandfather from the Czech Republic. No, it's like the American dream is like there's that trial by fire, right? That so many of these families went through. And that's why Mexicans that are here legally don't like this open border, because they know, look, you got to go through the trial by fire. It's an initiation to be part of this great nation, right?
Absolutely. Well, you see that in the polls now.
Yeah.
You see that the legal immigrants overwhelmingly support closing the border down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those that have come in the right way, those are the ones with the American dream.
Yep.
Those are the ones that want to participate in our society and actually be contributors and not takers out of the society. They're grateful for the opportunity to be able to live out the dream. They want to be able to pass something on to their children. And those are the folks that we want in this country. They get the idea that this illegal immigration that has flooded into this nation has made it harder for them to actually achieve that, whether that is driving down wages, whether that is overcrowding schools that their kids need to be going to. Whatever it is, they recognize this is not good. Besides the fact that, and this is probably a very politically incorrect thing to say, but these people that come in legally, often there are many people that just look at anybody with their skin tone and think, I bet you came in illegally. It's worth it. It's the fact that this has happened has been a hardship on those that have come in legally into this country and are trying to do it the right way.
For sure.
A hardship for them. And it's not fair. It's not fair for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, we talked about, and I hadn't heard somebody say this in a while, and I was really happy that you had brought it up. But you had mentioned that you kind of talked about how important it is, and your focus really has been on the old, like, think globally, act locally motto, right? And I hadn't heard that in a while because I think we're so used to right now talking about the national news and what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on in Ukraine. What did Trump tweet out today? It's been such, I don't want to demean it by, because it's political theater, and we talk about it at the water cooler or whatever, and there's people that love Trump, people that hate Trump, and you know, it's all this different stuff. And you really brought home the point, like, that, and the American Pulse, really, we're a Seattle podcast, right? So I'm very interested about people that are making a difference locally, like yourself. And we're going to talk about Burien News here in a second. But what would your advice be? Because I know a lot of concerned Americans that don't get involved locally. They want to talk and complain about all the things, but if they're chat, like, what would you say to them? Because there's a lot of good Americans. I think there's a lot of good conservatives and independents that are on the sidelines right now, and they could make such a big difference in the landscape here in Washington as we're going through our own transformation, our own initiation right now. But there's a lot on the sidelines, a lot. I know a lot that are just like, I don't want to deal with the friction of, you know, coming out of the closet as a conservative or a Christian or an independent, or I used to be liberal and now I'm not. I don't want people to, you know, be throwing shit at me or whatever the case may be. But what would your message be to them?
There's a principle in life of people that are effective, and that's they spend 80% of the time or more in the places that they can influence rather than the places where they have concerns. All of us are concerned about a number of things that we literally have zero influence over. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, all of us were concerned about what was going on in the Middle East and the potential wars and what was happening. I can't change that. It's not that is not within my power to do that. And my obsessing over that and spending inordinate amounts of time over that does nothing for loving my neighbor. So it's not that we're ignorant and that we don't have a thought about that. But I see people who could be very effective being ineffective, because they spend 80% of their time worrying over things they're concerned about, which they cannot influence, and maybe 20% of the time on what they can influence. And so we kind of have a fun little saying that, you know, we say go small or go home. Like,
I love
don't,
that.
you got to stay, what's happening right in your own neighborhood. Now, here's what's fascinating to me about that is if you stay away from the global issues on whether or not you think Trump is the fourth part of the Trinity and he's going to save the world, or you think he's all the demonics combined, you know, and here to turn the world into hell, wherever you're at on that spectrum. What we have found is locally, you can actually get a lot more cohesion. So people, I'll just deal with the homeless, just take the homeless issue. If you look at that from a national topic, I could go around our city and we could find some pretty hard divisions on how the government at a federal level should be dealing with that issue. But what's interesting is as soon as you bring it down locally, people who are what I would call moderate, maybe people of peace and goodwill in the middle, see what's happening on their local streets, and we find that we're in agreement. This is not good. People are dying on my street. I'm watching this happen. I am watching what's going on with my friend who owns the business across the street, and the fact that people aren't going into his store because they have to step over someone who is, you know, high on fentanyl or who has just literally pooped on the sidewalk. And so all of a sudden we see this reality. But at the same time, someone who maybe isn't quite as compassionate actually has to look at these people in the eye and go, well, that person's a real person. Like that's somebody's son. That's somebody's daughter. That isn't just a number. It isn't just a picture on the nightly news of a bunch of tents, you know, smelly and dirty. And so when we can begin to draw people locally together, and we do it out of a spirit of peace and goodwill, and we do it for the point of human flourishing, it's remarkable how much people who, on the macro issues, may have differences and maybe even strong differences, can agree about how to move the ball forward for their community and making it a better community. But most people don't get there because they're so obsessed about what's going on in DC that they don't take time to help what's going on in their local school district, in their city, in their neighborhood, and so forth. So yeah, we need a renaissance of people going local. And I encourage people, because I admit I'm a news junkie. And right now, actually, I'm on a 30-day fast from national and international news.
Oh, I love
I
that.
do that on a regular basis. And I find myself in a much better place when I do that. But we need people to just say, hey, I'm going to take 10 minutes to catch up on what's going on internationally and what's going on nationally. But the rest of the time, I want to know what's going on in City Hall. People are obsessed with what's happening in the Senate, as an example. They can't even name their city councilors. Like, that's crazy to me. So if we're going to turn this thing around, because if you look at how our country was founded, the way the influence was supposed to happen is you were far more concerned about who the mayor was than who the governor was. And you were far more concerned about who the governor was than who the president was, because that was the levels of influence in your life. Today, it's just the opposite. You know, we're going to get back to, in essence, a founding of America where what happens locally is the most important part. And this is sort of this perverse thing that's happened as the federal government has gotten out of control and the state government has followed in that. It has crushed local government. And so people feel hopeless about local government. Well, it doesn't make any difference anyway, because the state's going to pass a law that's going to crush whatever ordinance we just made for our city. And then the federal government's going to come in and crush them, depending on who's in office this 4 years. And this whole thing goes back and forth. We have to get it turned around so that people recognize that the local government is actually the most important government to be involved with. Not only can you influence it, but if we really are realigning our nation, it's the one that has the most impact on your life and on human flourishing all around you.
That's great. I love that message, Martin. And I think it's really fresh, and you're certainly embodying it with the Berea News. You know, it's funny. I love your idea of the media news fast and taking time away from that. I remember when I was younger, there was a meditation teacher, and this was kind of before smartphones, but he was a highly educated teacher who went to Harvard. You know, so he prided himself on. You know, he read three or four newspapers a day. He really wanted to know everything that was going on in the world. And he would take a month off and not look at a single news item. And people asked him, like, well, you know, how do you keep caught up? And he goes, well, you know, what's funny is I don't miss any, like, I literally don't miss anything. If something is really monumental, one of my friends will say something to me. I don't have to read it. They'll say, hey, you know, this just happened in New York or whatever. And he's like, okay. He goes, when I start picking up the news again, I find that I really didn't miss anything, period. You know, and we've just become so used to having our news sources in our pocket. And just I just really like I like that you're taking a stand with your own mental health. I'm saying it to myself basically because I'm not someone that takes a break from the phone, and I think I could probably speak for a lot of people when I say that. But yeah, so but you know, I wanted to
Heck, I want
ask.
to add something in
Yeah,
here.
go ahead. Yeah.
Is that one of the reasons we do that as humans is because we actually were made to govern. So we have this desire to govern. But the thing is that governing requires responsibility. So I think the perversity of the thing that's fascinating to me about this is that there's this desire to understand what's going on. And by nature, we should be concerned about it because we were made to govern literally all of the earth. But the beautiful thing is, if I just keep the governing concern at the top level, I don't have any responsibility. And so I don't, and most people don't want to take responsibility. They just want to be able to go along with life, however, in whatever is convenient. So by being obsessed at the national and international level, of which I have basically no responsibility for, I can have this sense that, well, I'm concerned about governing, but I have no responsibility with it. It's the exact opposite when you go local. Now you have responsibility and you have influence. So we need this transformation to happen where people choose to take responsibility and therefore are willing to get involved and take action.
Yeah, that's great. I used to complain back in the day, where I was telling people, friends, I didn't have a podcast way back in the day, and I was always like, don't you find it interesting that the news, it doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, the news, they never put out anything that's like feels really uplifting. Like you everything is, it doesn't matter if it's CNN or Clear Channel Radio or MSNBC or Fox, that if you really looked at, and this has been, and I'm talking when I was younger in my 20s and 30s, I was saying, why, how come all the news stories seem completely demoralizing, and just the overall context seems to be, people just can't do anything good, only bad things. And it's like, I look back on it now and I'm like, I can kind of see that I wasn't really down the rabbit hole yet of why that might be. I hadn't quite separated corporate media with their incentives from just people wanting to tell the truth. There wasn't a lot of citizen journalist channels back in the day. It was a lot of the big ones. And if you were listening to NPR, back then it was like, oh, I'm getting the real news. It's not, it's not slanted. It's like, oh my God, I was so naive, And so, but, and now we know a lot more because of the internet. And you started Birria News, and I just wanted to read both your mission and your vision and just get your comments on how you, what was the impetus for you to start it? But the mission, I love these two things. Your mission is establish systems of local storytelling to create positive solutions in communities of under 150,000 residents, right in your wheelhouse of local impact. And then your vision is to promote human flourishing through uplifting, truthful stories. Man, oh man, that is a concise, powerful mission statement that I'm like excited just reading it to you, because I just feel like it's so in alignment with God and truth and the light and humanity and human flourishing, all the things that you're talking about. How did you start it? What are you excited about with it now? Like, what do you guys got going on? I just want to give you a chance to kind of promote Birria News, but give us a little bit of a story on like how did that get created?
Yes. Well, way it goes a way back. I'm gonna jump in after the 2021 local elections. We had my I was running for city council, and we won the primary handily, and we won the election on election night with an equal margin as the primary. And anyway, long story short, somehow there was a 9-point swing in the polls after they closed, which is possible, but it has the same probability of a Major League Baseball team throwing four consecutive no-hitters in a row in the World Series.
Yeah,
So,
yeah. So yeah,
can't be
really
done.
solid chance of that
Right. Can't say it can't be done just because it's never been
happening.
done, but
Yeah.
take what you got. Anyway, but as we looked at it, we realized there were a number of factors that were involved, and one of them was we really didn't have any honest news coverage. So during the election, the closest thing that we had is we had at the time in our city was a blog site which really didn't cover news. And they did run four articles during our election. All four of those articles were on me, and all four were an attack on my faith. And so, and completely absurd. I mean, like, if he gets elected, he's going to fire all the city staff and bring in pastors, which, if anybody knows anything about me, that would be the last group I'd ever want to bring in. And second, I'm like, you don't, the author, this writer who's supposed to be this smart guy is like, you don't even understand how government works, do you? If you're on the city council, at least in ours, the way our city is set up, you have one person that you get to hire and fire, and that's the city manager. That's it. You know, the city manager actually runs the city. He reports to the city. It's just like, you don't even understand civics. That's how bad your thinking is on all of this. So my wife and I just felt like this is really detrimental to our city. We need honest news that's telling the story about what's going on. But what we don't need is we don't need the social media virus. We do not need ad hominem attacks. We do not need personal insults. We do not need memes that are belittling one another. What if we go down this road of saying we're going to speak truth, but we are not going to personally attack people? Also, you can have a civilized conversation going forward with this.
And
And
have you purposely stayed out of the social media stuff for that reason and not really gone in there or?
yes, we I'll say we have not made a point of trying to go there. We ought truthfully, we did try to go there. We had one person that said, I really want to take us there, and we did. And immediately, next door shut us down. And then Instagram shut us down. And then Instagram, so I was covering the, I cover the high school football team. And so, which is as much a love as it is anything else. And high school teams don't get any coverage, you know. So, and I just think that that's just wrong. So anyway, Instagram cut me off because I was posting pictures of the high school football team talking about how well they were doing. But they said I violated their community standards.
Really?
Yeah. So it's absolutely fascinating. But I mean, the reason is I'm associated with Berea News. So that's the issue. So because of that, we haven't necessarily tried to go long on the issue of it. So, and it's such a nasty place.
It is.
It's just nasty. And you know, in the end, the point is to win over people. It's not to just hammer them into the ground. It's to win over people. So that's what we're trying to do.
I love it. I love it. Well, where can people find Berea News? How can people support Berea News? Is there a website that's the hub? If they just Google Berea News, I think they find it, right?
So Berean.news. That's all you got to put in, just Berean.news, and you'll come right to it. And we publish pretty much every day. Rare day that we don't. We focus primarily on our school district because the most at-risk people in our entire district are these kids who are, you know, in this school district, especially kids that are immigrant kids. Kids of color, they're stuck in a failing school district. And so when we look at who's the most vulnerable, it's those kids that are most vulnerable. So we've really been focusing on that and trying to bring to light the failure of the district and what that means to these kids. And then covering Burien and the government and policies and issues and so forth. So that's really where we've been focused on, and we've seen some pretty positive results come out of it in terms of moving our city in the right direction and moving, you know, getting truth out about the school district. So
That's great. Well, Martin, thanks so much for coming on the American Pulse and sharing your insight and your wisdom. You're an embodiment of living with your sleeves rolled up in a local community to make a difference. And I think your message of, stop always staring at the shiny DC, Trump, all that stuff, and roll up your sleeves here and have conversations with your neighbors and see what needs to be done right around your neighborhood is a great message right now. I think it will resonate, and I love everything that you're doing in the Burien News. So thank you so much for taking time today, and coming and speaking with the American Pulse. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on. And I hope all your listeners enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. If you are local here near Seattle, go subscribe to the Burien News. Martin and his team are living examples of the old axiom, think globally, act locally, and very much in alignment with the grassroots movement and power to the people that is happening right here in the King County GOP and all over this great nation. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on The American Pulse.